And it's awesome because we get to hear from different people of a congregation. And today we got John Flagrant. John, I'll tell you, this dude, I don't know how he's got it. I don't know how he can be here today. Only he works baling hay, and it's hay season. His days started when the light comes on and when the light goes off. You know how long a day that is. So, John, we're just glad to have you with us. And here's your audience today.
Like Ricky mentioned, John too humble would probably say anything of himself. But I had something go on last night around 10:30 at night. And usually about 10:30, from where I know from hanging out at John and Shelley's, is Shelley's on the little laptop, and John's like, and I thought, well, John like that, so I'll just leave a message, and he'll get in the morning. He answered the phone. It was like 10:30. I'm like, oh, dude, you didn't have to answer. I just left a message. He said, I'm on my way home. He hadn't even gotten home from work yet at 10 o'clock in the morning. So, hey, Straw, I've been here for 4 years with them guys. I never got down that late with them. About 5:30, I'm like, I'll see you guys later. If you need me the next day, I'll come back. But John stays faithful with these guys. He's been working with them for about 35 years. So he asked me to read scripture this morning. It's based on John chapter 4. Real good part of scripture. I'm sure most of you recognize it. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized the disciples, when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back to once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you to gather that our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right. You say you have no husband. The fact is, you have 5 husbands." Busy woman. "And the man you now have is your husband." I'm sorry. "The man that you have now is not your husband. What have you said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that this place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are a kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." I know that's one thing that Pastor Doug really wants to happen when we sing and play. Eddie and John, all of us, and Skip and Rick, and everybody plays up here and sings the worship in spirit and truth. Real important to do that, you know. That's why sometimes you see me up there, I just close my eyes and say, "Lord, it's not about anything we do or us. It's about spirit. It's about you. It's about worshiping in spirit and worshiping in truth." and Jesus is truth. The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. I think the second shortest is Jesus is truth. That's a good, like a great verse. Jesus is truth. He's truth. The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Imagine that. She thought Jesus was coming. She was talking to him. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I will tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop of eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows, another reaps,' it is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." How appropriate with John doing the reaping the hay and the straw this time of the year. That is.
Well, according to the signpost this morning, the title, if you will, was "When God Reasons With Us." So then you say, and it was Isaiah 1:18. And it's like, where did that come from, you know? All this that we've just been reading, that Rocky was kind enough to read. I wanted to just say this before we pray. One of my most favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah 1:18. And that verse says, "Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, be white as snow. Though it be red like crimson, it be like wool." Let's just pray real quick as God's blessing. Father, I thank you for this time. It always amazes me, Lord, how you use the base things and the small things of this world to bring out your word, to bring your will and your way. And I pray, Father, that you would be here this day as I know you are, Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Okay. Like I said, one of my favorite verses is where it says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." And it's amazing to me to think that God would want to reason with a man or a woman or a kid. The thing is that there's like almost, it's almost like cliche to see somebody come up and say, you know, God loves you. It's almost cliche. I mean, you can see that on bumper stickers. You can see it. I remember driving down across Interstate 80 when we used to run out west. And there's big on the side of a mountain. Somebody had wrote, "God loves you." And it was everywhere. And after a while, you know, it becomes like I said, it's almost like, yeah, I know God loves me. I know God loves me. But when you really think about it, and make it personal. And that, how I do that is, I remember when I first met Michelle. I asked her permission to say this. When I first met Shelly, she was working in a laundromat. And just a tiny little wisp of a thing like she is today. And she was in there mopping the floor, and the mop was bigger than her. And I remember looking at her, but no interest, because I had blown apart a marriage just a couple years previous. And I was living with the results of that explosion in my life. So when it comes to Shelly, I was like, just, I admire from afar, okay? And we would talk every now and then. She's very quiet, very withdrawn, didn't talk much. One day she came walking in, well, her mother came in. I didn't know who it was. But this lady came in, telling these two beautiful little girls. And I was like, okay, I noticed, and I was sitting up on the washing machine waiting for the wash to be done, you know. And I see two little girls coming to this woman. And all of a sudden I hear her say, Mommy! And I said, holy smokes, man, this girl's got kids and everything. Holy smokes. So what happened was, after about a year and a half, I had to be with her. So, surprises, surprises, she accepted to go out on a date with me. And we drew close, very close. Within a year and a half, I knew that I loved this woman. But I also knew that she had come through hard times. She's going to give her testimony here in this church. You don't miss that. That is one of the most awesome stories I've ever heard. But I knew that I had designs for her and I loved her. But I was scared to death to be with her because I knew what I had done, what I was capable of doing in people's lives. And here she is with these two little innocent little girls. And I said, I can't put this woman through a lifetime of me. So we went out on this beautiful date. We played miniature golf. And we went out to dinner. And we came home. Well, I brought her to her house. And I said, Michelle, I can't see you no more. And my heart broke. My heart broke. Oh, God, it broke. I said, I can't see you no more. Because I don't want you to get stuck with what I carry or my baggage. And so for about 2-3 weeks, boy, I swore I wanted to go cry today. But I went through this in my mind all week long. And it ripped my heart out. And the reason why I'm saying this is because that's the way God is. I was working on my pickup truck on Southland Avenue 2 or 3 weeks after I had done this. And I looked up the street and I saw her coming. It was like an angel, man, with these two little girls. My heart jumped out of my chest. I said, I don't care. I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Now, why did I say this? Why am I telling you this? Because that's how God is to us. You know what the Bible says? There's more joy in heaven when one sinner repents than when 99 righteous are there. That tells me that there's ebbs and flow of joy in heaven. Because if all of a sudden some shout goes up in the corner over there and somebody says, what's going on? They said, look what happened. This guy comes, he falls on these, oh God forgive me. And heaven jumps up and rejoices because God loves us. And when it becomes personal, then we realize that this God that loves us so much wants a relationship with us. And then in a relationship, we talk, right? Jenny cuts your hair. I don't sit there not saying mumbling words. She cuts my hair. We're talking. Hey, Jim, what's up? This and that. Nothing. How kids? How's Rick? How's this? How's that? This is just like with God. So I'm thinking about this verse that says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And so I'm thinking, wow, what's it like to reason with God? What's it like to talk to somebody you never saw? You can't see him. God, where are you? You know, I want to talk to you, God. Are you busy right now? You got 50 billion things going on in this world. Anybody remember the movie Bruce Almighty?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the coolest. I didn't watch it for a while because I thought it was going to be sacrilegious. But that was the coolest movie. Because all of a sudden he starts hearing the voices. And he's going nuts. And then he said to Morgan Freeman, who played God, I thought it was excellent. He said, how do you make men love you? And he goes, that's the dilemma. You can love them. You can't make them love you because we're creatures of choice. Anyway, now, we want to talk to God. We want to reason with God. And we say, God, where are you, number one? God, number two, what can I say to you? Are there certain things I can't say to you? Are there certain things you don't want to hear? Anyway, so then I'm thinking in my mind, all right, the best thing I know, because I don't know that much, Best thing to know is go to the Bible and see if somebody reasoned with God. See what happened there. What was his experience? Her experience? What happened? So I read and I thought about Job. Here's the man. Most people know Job's story. It was like the day of calamities, the day of worst days of anybody's life. Somebody said, Job, I hate to tell you this, but all your cattle died. The barns fell down. Somebody else said, Job, I hate to tell you this, but the house blew up, everything went wrong. Job, then somebody comes and says, Job, your kids are gone, man. All your kids are gone. There's nothing left, Job. Your whole life just went to crap in a handbasket. Job falls down on his knees and he says, naked I came, naked I go. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Amen. But that wasn't the end of the story. Because Job started to get himself together now, he starts thinking, God, what have I done that's been so bad that you've done this? Why have you let this happen to me? Why did my life fall apart? I want to know, God. I want answers. I can't see you. I can't hear you. But I want to know. I want you to talk with me, God. Okay, another movie. Forrest Gump. Yeah. Okay? Do you remember Lieutenant Dan? Lieutenant Dan? He lost both his legs? And he was up on the crow's nest of Bubba Gump's ship, right? Yeah. Shrimp ship. And so Forrest Gump now, Tommy Hanks, he's like saying the story right now, right? He goes, and all of a sudden this big storm came up, right? And the lieutenant Dan is up there swaying. Yeehaw! Come on! Go ahead, God, hit me, go ahead, like that. And he says, and Lieutenant Dan called on God. He says, and God came. Well, that's what happened with Job. Job called on God, and all of a sudden there's this big storm, and out of this big storm, everything happened, crash and thunder and lightning. All of a sudden, he hears a voice, and God said, who's the man that wants to talk to me? Where's he? Stand up and talk. And you know what? It wasn't like God was like, come on, you little peon, slap him around. God came and said, Job, you want to talk? It's like he pulled up a chair. Job, want to talk?
Oh my God.
Come on, Job, let's talk. In one part there, he says, you know, I made the behemoth, which according to the footnotes that Cliff gave me the Bible, thank you, but he said, behemoth, he goes, have you considered the behemoth that I have made along with you? God starts telling me, Job, I made you, man. I made all this stuff, Job. He spent almost two chapters just bragging on the crocodiles. He did. When you read that, the last part, he spent almost two chapters telling Job about the crocodile. And one of the things he said was, he said, you think you're going to make him your pet? Are you going to tame him? Are you going to take him on in a fight? He goes, you go ahead and fight with him. He goes, you'll never forget the outcome of that one. But God starts talking to Job. He starts telling Job about, he goes, where were you when I laid out the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I built the mountains? Where were you when I hollowed out and put the water, the mighty waves, and I told him, you can go that far no more. Where were you, Job? And the whole point was not to belittle Job. The whole point was to tell him, it's like trying to tell a blind man about a sunset. Job can't fathom unfathomable wisdom. Neither can we. How do we talk to a God that we don't even know what we're supposed to talk about? Because God has, like the verse in the Bible says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so high are my thoughts than yours, and my ways than your ways. So when Pastor loved me for that. Let me read the outcome of the discussion. Then Job replied to the Lord. This is the conversation, okay? God talked for like four chapters. And then Job says, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you will answer me. My ears had heard of you. My ears had heard of you. God loves you. Oh, God loves you. Oh, it's on the sides of the mountains out there. It's on the bumper stickers. It's on TV sometimes. Still, God loves you. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. I had heard about you. I knew you was around town somewhere. Now I've seen you. Now listen to this. Therefore, I despise myself and repent and dust and ashes. Have you ever despised yourself? Try talking to God. The first thing you do is start crying. Isaiah did that. He said, woe is me, for I'm a man of undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell with the people of unclean lips. And all I can do is cry before God. Oh, God, how do I talk to you? I'm all clean. Okay, now we get to what Brother Rock read about this morning. Okay, because this is another discussion. I don't want to drag this out, but it was another discussion. And here comes this woman out to draw at the well of Sychar. And I don't know, I call it Sychar. I guess you could pronounce it Sychar or something. I don't know. That's not it, not Christian. No, okay. Anyway, thank you, Christian. Jesus comes along and here's this woman. And see, she said the same. He said the same. See, because Jesus is God, right? So, thank you. Thousands of years ago, God talks to a man in the desert named Job. And he introduces himself. He goes, you have no clue. Job, you have no clue who you're talking to. You have no clue who you're messing with. That was back in the day, right, Jerry? You have any idea who you're messing with? Out in the street, you know? Out in the street. You know who you're messing with? You want some of this? Anyway, and now, years later, God says, that's it. I can't stand this no more. I've got to go be with them people. It's like seeing an anthill. And you say, you know what? The only way I'll ever talk to the man is if you come in. And there you are. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? How's the world here, man? You know? But then, see, Jesus, as God, now he's talking to the woman. He said basically the same thing to her. You have no idea who you're talking to, right? You know, if you knew the gift of God, the gift of God, if you knew it, and if you knew what it said to you, give me some water, please, honey. You would have asked me. And I would have given you living water. Now, her thinking is going like this. Oh, dude, you know what? Why don't you get me some of that water? Because I'm sick and tired of walking out of here every day. I got to come out here at noontime because I'm an outcast from society. Your regular women come morning and night. I come out in the afternoon because I don't want nobody seeing me because everybody knows who I am. If you don't think so, when she went back to tell the people, half the town came with her. She was well acquainted with a lot of people. Okay, anyway, she's got her mind on this level right here. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts. Here's this lady's thoughts. Probably right alongside of mine. Jesus, you know I'm tired of working right now. My back hurts. I'd sure appreciate something. And Jesus is like, do you know who you're talking to? So then he says to the woman, and they have a discussion. See, this is what's so cool. He says to her, go up. And it, to me, I call it the dart to the heart. Because he says to her, well, go get your husband and come back. And he knew it was like a ticket time bomb. That was the most loaded thing he could have said. Because that was the one thing that woman carried like a rock around her neck. You know how I know that? Because when she went to the people, she said to them, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did wrong. That was one thing. But you see, that was her world. It's like us. If we have something around our neck and the guilt drags us down, you know, and God removes that guilt, he's like, oh, God, you saved my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. So now Jesus says to her, go and get your husband. Now, did you ever watch somebody tell a lie or cave the truth? Rock says to me, John, you bought a new truck? You bought a new bike? You bought a Harley? And I didn't want Rock to know that because I didn't want to know I have so much money. I tried to let him, well, somebody helped me out, Rock, and I was able to get something. And you're like, because your eyes are all over the place. You know what I'm saying? So this lady says to Jesus, okay, now this is the gospel according to John. The lady says to Jesus, I have no husband. And it looks up in his face. I have nothing. She don't know. Remember, he said, if you knew who you were talking to, and so she says, all right, let's go back up. See, I got through. And he looks at her. Now, this is God. God talking to a woman that he created that got all messed up. Don't even talk about her life. Drama after drama. Crap after crap. Now, she's talking to him face to face. God knows. So he says to her, you know what? You told the truth. Excuse me? Well, I pulled that one off. He says, no. You've had five husbands. And the one you're with now, you ain't even your husband, honey. But you know what's cool? No condemnation. No condemnation. Isn't that amazing that Jesus can look at us who deserve nothing but condemnation, get kicked under the bus, and he looks at us, and there's no condemnation. Okay. I guess it's getting long enough now we ought to draw this thing up to a conclusion. Okay. If when we talk to God, we know that he loves us, we know that we're on our best day, our sinful wretches, on our best day. Well, maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe other people do just fine. I can't claim that. Okay? But I do want to talk to God. So I got to acknowledge what I am before him. He already knows. He ain't no different talking to me than he was to the lady when he stood there and said, you told the truth.
Amen.
You told the truth. You had five husbands. The one you got right now, you didn't got husband. So what am I all of a sudden now? I'm going to get slick and I'm going to squirrel on by God with that one? Oh, God, by the way, bless Shelly and the kids, and God bless Edward Road Chapel, and God, thanks for a wonderful day, and God's like, John, come back, what about this? And it's like, John, let's reason together. What drives us from God? Our sin. Our sin keeps us from God. And he says, don't let that be a problem in your mind. Please don't. Don't stay away. I love you. I love you so much, I got rid of the wall. I got rid of the door. I got rid of the fortress. I knocked down heaven and earth so you and me can have a relationship.
Amen.
That's all I want. Just love me back. Love me. Love me. That's all. Let's have something good together.
Amen.
Okay. Let's hear this conclusion now. Everybody has something that God's talking to you about.
Amen.
I don't know what it is, and that's not for me to know. Nor is it for you to know what God's talking to me. Well, maybe I share. Cliff hears quite a lot of what God's telling me about it. God bless you, Cliff.
God bless you.
And but unless you choose to share it with somebody, it's just between you and God, right? And so God's speaking. And now the question is, do you hear his voice? Because of the heart, it's hard to hear something when you don't hear it. It's hard to have conversations. So if we're hearing his voice, he's saying something to us. And here's the thing. We have to recognize, what does God want from this? God, where are you going with this whole thing? Because, see, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this right here. But as the heavens are high above the earth, where are you going, God? Where are you taking me? What do you want from me? For some of us, that may be, God may be saying, you know what? I want a relationship with you. And we're thinking, at this level, God, I have a relationship with you. I know who you are. I say, oh God, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul. I have a relationship with God. And God said, you're not even touching the surface. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me the drink, you would have asked him. He would have given you water welling up inside. Kind of stuff makes you jump up and down, get all freaking happy and everything, you know? And instead we're satisfied with, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul. And God's like, you know, there's more that we can talk about than when you go down to sleep. And if you sure we can. We can talk about other things than that. You know, you're allowed to do that. So maybe he's saying to you, I want a relationship with you. And how do you have it? Well, we do, God. Now, if you understood the gift of God, okay, maybe it's something in our lives. Have you ever been confronted by God about a sin? Okay.
Amen.
I'm going to have to say another thing, man. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's a whole myriad of things. Who knows? But you do. And he does. It's only one who matters. So, I guess that is the whole thing. Except to say this. That I dearly, dearly, dearly love this. I have never been around a group of people like this group I have been. I thank God for the day that Shelly came here and saw this gym and started coming here. And then, miracles, I started coming too. And God spoke in a new way in my life. Well, I love y'all. Let's just pray real quick, okay? God, can't see you, but I'd be a liar to say I can't feel you. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have plans to bless and not to destroy. Thank you, Lord God, that you brought us here and that you love us. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you for that, God. Thank you most of all that you love us. Because everything else flows down from heaven, from that love. And I just pray for all the fathers today. And I'm so glad for Eddie. Like he said, Happy Father's Day, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. And you're an awesome dad. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Father, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, John and Michelle, reach in the back, and the men, you get your little Father's Day thing today. So we're just going to be dismissed. Have a great day, men, fathers, and everybody.